Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. I'm hoping to hear from Rich Tomey here any moment now. He's already on the phone. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Glad to have you on the show. I'm pretty excited to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Is it ironic that you played that song with me coming on because of my dad? You know that's his favorite song of all time right there.
Oh, you know what? That's why I have it, because it's one of mine. It's no, you're not joking, are you?
No. If you go back and look at some of the old U of A highlight videos and, like, the end-of-year highlight reel, that song is on one of them from, I think, the year they went to the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's actually the song that plays. So every time I hear that song, it brings up a lot of memories.
Right. Well, that's why we're here. That's funny because we had a caller maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when I started the show. They said what the significance of the song was. And I said, well, I used to, in 79-80, I used to play it when I got ready to play ball. And, he said, well, the football team has that as some of the theme song. And I'm thinking it was for the 98 thing when your dad was here.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes total sense now. Hey, I know you're busy up in Phoenix, and you're fairly new to a new program called Positive Coaching Alliance. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I took over this role about a year and a half ago as executive director. I spent 15 years before that working for the Arizona Cardinals, and this opportunity really, really hit me in a lot of great ways based on the fact that it's such an amazing organization that really focuses on, you know, the kids and, you know, better athletes, better people is kind of the whole moniker behind it. So I heard you talking earlier about Steve Kerr and just people like that. And we probably have over 200 national advisory board members. Steve Kerr is one of them that really focuses on, you know, the right way to coach, the right way to handle kids. And it shows, you know, obviously, you know, you look at a guy like Steve Kerr and how he coaches his players, and I think that there's so many youth coaches out there today that really don't understand how much they say and do really affects kids. And that's why this organization is so important. And the stat that I always tell people is 70% of kids quit all sports by age 13. So that's a lot of kids. And that's usually due to bad, you know, parents being unruly or mm-hmm. coaches just making kids quit. And so our mission is really to change that model and really, you know, kind of bring home what's important and why things happen and really why kids are playing sports in the first place and what you learn out of it. And so I, you know, as a player myself, I learned more from sports than a lot of things, probably more than a lot of classes I took in college. You know, you just learn about winning and losing and overcoming adversity, and these things are predictors of, you know, increased drug use, and you know, if you drop out of sports, there's a lot of things that really could happen and go in a negative direction if you don't play sports. I mean, 90% of Fortune 500 CEOs played high school sports. So these are stats that are real, and they're important. So really, that's the thing that really got me involved, and you know, I've got a lot of it was like starting my own business here because it was sort of underachieving, and we've really started to get things on the map. We've expanded down into Southern Arizona, which we can talk about, and just some things that we're trying to do differently. So it's been a blast.
Right. It's funny because I think we've talked before, but I've seen those ads. If you hire a former athlete, you'll know what teamwork is about. They'll work their butt off because they've already been used to working their butt off. Things like that. That's get one of those hard, tough-minded people or employees.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't teach most of what you learn in sports is an inherent value, and it's things you can't really learn in a book. It's built into your fabric. You look at guys that played for my dad, you know, they still would run through a wall for him. And mm-hmm. it's just things he taught guys that they just, you know, it's amazing when they have events at U of A, how many guys come back and what he meant to them. And that's so in a funny way, this is kind of me giving back and learn, you know, passing on what I know. And we have a tremendous bunch of supporters in Arizona. We have a great board. Like I said, we're expanding into Tucson. We just signed an agreement with the Tucson Unified School District. We're going to be working with all their coaches and their schools with And we're excited about everything, and I couldn't be happier. So.
How do people get involved? Or do you let's answer that question, then I'll ask another one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just kind of tell you how we work, basically. So our organization, I'll just give you a little brief history. We were founded about 20 years ago. This got founded really out of the Stanford Athletic Department. So it was sort of born out of Stanford University by a guy named Jim Thompson, who is the CEO. And over the years, we've expanded to roughly 25 or so chapters around the country. And it's continually growing. So we're, we have trainers that we actually certify to actually deliver our content. So here in Arizona, we have probably close to 20 trainers that are certified. These can be anyone from a former Division I coach to a player, or really anyone that's just interested in youth sports. Kelly Cagle is one of our trainers. She went to Sal Point. She's a former head women's soccer coach at Virginia Tech. She was All-American at Duke. So, and I've known Kelly for a long time. So these are the type of people that we have involved. And we work with, whether it's a youth sports organization or a high school or a middle school or even a college, we just signed an agreement with Grand Canyon University, where we're working with their athletes. We will come in and deliver, and we have probably 15 or so different types of workshops, whether it's leadership training or parents or coaches or athletes or little guys, you name it. I mean, we have a ton of content, but really, everyone can see it on our website at positivecoach.org if they really wanted to, take a deep dive. Again, take a look at our national advisory board, which is built of really the who's who of sports. You're talking Steve Kerr, Phil Jackson, Brad Stevens, my dad is on it, Jerry Colangelo. You have, hundreds of Olympians and former athletes, which we work with to develop content and things that really were important to them. It's powerful when a coach at the youth level can hear from a Steve Kerr or somebody like that.
Sure.
Of his philosophy. Steve says many times he coaches his players the way he coached his 8-year-old. And it's like, there's no difference.
You're right.
It's really ironic. Uh-huh. That you don't have to be this, you don't have to yell and scream, and you can really have fun with people, and you'll get more out of somebody if you have a smile on your face and you're not a jerk. And a lot of people don't understand that, especially people at the youth level. I witnessed this firsthand. I was coaching my son's flag football game 2 weeks ago, and the night before that, there was a fight with parents and coaches, and they had to call the police. This wasn't with my team, but the guy who runs the league said, this is unbelievable. It's scary what's going on out there. And so that's why this is needed more than ever in our society, I think.
Is it so it's more for coaches to prepare to become better coaches?
It's all of the above. I mean, it's really, we have workshops for coaches. I mean, we have coaching, obviously, in our name. So coaches is definitely the focus. But we do work directly with athletes and parents. Parents' workshops are very important, I think. They're always the toughest to get in the room together because they all,
sure,
everybody's busy. But when you can really get a group of parents together that buy into a philosophy, it will change the dynamic of, a program. So we focus on everything. We do a lot of leadership training with young athletes. We've done some at my kid's school where we'll have team captain councils, and we'll have a trainer come in every 2 weeks and work with team captains, and then those captains will take their learning back to their teams and empower them as leaders. So there's so much we can do, and it really is, it affects everything. And when you hear a young athlete or a coach start using our terminologies and things in practice, I just got a note today from one of the athletic directors we work with, saying that he heard his coach talking, in our language to his team, and he said it makes you feel good when you hear this working. And so that's really the fun part of it, and it's been a neat progression.
Right, right. Can you say the website name real quick before we go to break, and we'll talk more on the other side?
Yeah, it's positivecoach.org, and there's a ton of great stuff there, and I think people will love to check it out.
Okay, so. Great. Hoping you can stick around a little bit longer. We're going to talk about a lot of things, U of A, and continue to talk about Positive Coach. We're with Rich Tomey, and I'm Steve Rivera, the host of KVUI, and Eye on the Ball.
I want to remind you this Christmas season that the best gifts we can give to others do not fit in a box. Hi, I'm Pastor Roy Tallgren, Executive Director of Gospel Rescue Mission. You can't wrap up a box of love, attention, kindness, hope, or your time. However, it is these gifts that mean the most to your loved ones and friends. At Gospel Rescue Mission, we share these gifts every day with broken men, women, and children who are desperately searching for someone who cares. This Christmas season, remember to take time to bless others by simply sharing yourself. Your support of Gospel Rescue Mission makes a positive impact in the lives of our homeless and working poor neighbors. Find out how you can help at grmtucson.com. Remember, the best gifts we can give do not fit in a box. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored.
Gospel Rescue Mission, there is something you can do.
I am homeless in Tucson and I want to finish high school. Youth on Their Own in Tucson helps homeless kids like me. We're not troublemakers, just victims. Please direct your Arizona charitable tax credit to me at yoto.org. Help me and other homeless Tucson teens get our education and make Tucson a better place to live for all of us.
Lower your tax bill by donating to yoto.org. Take advantage of the 2018 tax credit. That's yoto.org.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. As the sun shines on the Rincon Mountains, Christy Simone wakes up Tucson from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI. So, Richie, can you tell my music is all old school?
It's perfect. I'm a big yacht rock guy, so this is right in my wheelhouse.
Exactly. Someone said that. We love yacht rock, so perfect, perfect space. Hey, so let's talk more about the positive coaching. It's funny. I've often said my kids have played soccer for most of their lives. They're now out of it, and then one played in college. I said the worst thing that happened to kids in sports are the parents, because they're just bonkers and crazy. That's been probably the case for years and years. What's the biggest reason? They want to live through their kids or what?
I look back when I was playing, when I was a kid, I mean, there was never club sports and there was never, I mean, I played baseball at U of A. I played professionally for a year. I don't think I ever played more than I don't even know if I ever played summer baseball. I played during the school year and that was it basically. And I think there's just such a pressure these days. I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry now, youth sports. So I think there's such a pressure on people to, perform, and these parents really want to, get their kids a scholarship or whatever the pressure is. And I think that, not knowing where their minds are, I think is they lose their minds half the time. So I think it's very hard for parents, when they feel the pressure of, I mean, at the youngest levels, I mean, you see kids who are 6 years old getting screamed at and their parents putting them in all these extracurricular lessons and things to get to the next level. But the truth is that no one develops really until you're a teenager, you know, or more. And so I think a lot of the values and things in youth sports have been lost on, you know, the young, really. So I think we're trying to really get to the, you know, the kids past that age 13 mark.
Yeah. How can,
and speaking of young kids, I had three young kids just crawling in my car going to a middle school softball game right now.
You know that commercial where some guy is working at a thing and the little kid in the background comes in and messes up his show? Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. No, that's cool. But you're a perfect example of what's going on with your program. You're coaching, you're driving the kids to events. I mean, who doesn't do that or who hasn't done this? How can people join your organization?
Well,
or be a part of it.
I mean, our biggest need is, you know, to get with youth sports organizations. So I think if there's anyone out there that is currently a coach or involved with youth sports, you know, we'd love to talk to them. And you know, that could be anywhere from someone that is in a school program to, you know, a youth sports, like a flag football league or a soccer league, whatever. You know, we're always looking for people that want us to come in and talk about our content and help really be a resource. We're not trying to take over a league or, you know, there's a lot of, especially soccer. Soccer's been really, a tough one for us just because soccer, there's so many club soccer programs that really they're very, territorial and they just want to keep everything within their organization. So I think we're never trying to take over an organization. We just want to come in and be a resource. And I think once people see what we're doing and our content, they just really, you know, they realize it, that how important it is, and it becomes a big deal. So, and again, I will say we're expanding down to Tucson. We've had, before I came on, it was very focused up here in Scottsdale and Phoenix, but, you know, I changed the name of PCA right away to PCA Arizona because obviously Tucson's such an important market to me and, where I played as a youngster. So I'm excited to get going down there and, anyone and everyone that wants to be involved, I'd love to talk to.
Is there a cost?
There is. I mean, we do have, so really the model for PCA has been, there are direct pay, what we call direct pay. So a school will pay to have us come in and, you know, do the workshops. Now, the thing that I did initially when I came to Arizona or came to the organization is I tried to really get rid of having schools pay for this because we know here in Arizona, schools are having a tough time basically paying their own bills. So the last thing I want to do is have us coming in asking for money. So really how we make this happen is through grants a lot of times or sponsorships or partners that want to support our programming. And a lot of times, you know, parents or people that work in different businesses are able to support what we're doing. So really, you know, my job is not only to get the word out, but also obviously fundraise and, you know, like any normal nonprofit is raise money and help us deliver our programming, you know, wherever we can and never really say no to anybody because most organizations that want us to come in need us there and we wouldn't be doing our job if we said no to anybody. So I'm not ever going to say no and we'll find a way to cover it. And, you know, we do have travel costs and training and materials and staff. So obviously we got to survive as a business, but we're doing well. We had a great year for our chapter and I think we're moving in the right direction.
So you have 25 of them across the country,
Yes.
in Palo Alto. Is that your home base?
It's home based. Yeah. Right there in Palo Alto area. And, that's kind of where headquarters is for sure. Now we had, finished our fiscal year for 2018 back because we're on the school calendar. So we finished in September and Arizona was actually number two in the country this past year in terms of impact. And we measure impact by, you know, how many kids, you know, heard our mission and our message. And we were almost 90,000 kids here in Arizona were exposed to PCA at some level in our through a coach or some other way. So we were very proud of that. And I think we have a great partnership with the AIA. David Hines there, the executive director, has really been tremendous to work with at Fiesta Bowl. We actually just are working on trying to get something going with the Nova Home Loans Bowl down there in Tucson as well. Ollie Farhang is on our board as well, so we're really going to start moving the needle down there, hopefully.
At what age do you talked about kids quitting sports at 13. It's probably burnout has something to do with it and coaching, bad coaching. At what age is it kind of prime for kids to get involved in sports? 6, 7, is that too young? Things like that.
No, I think the earlier the better. I mean, my kids all started playing sports as soon as they could pick up a ball. So I think, you know, the sooner they can get going, whether that's just running around on a soccer field or, you know, trying to, you know, get involved in something at some level. I think, you know, obviously athletics is a great thing for everyone, not only from a competition standpoint, but from a just, you know, health standpoint. So I would encourage at any level to get involved, whether that's swimming or whatever it might be, playing with a kickball, who knows. But I'm a big fan of the earlier the better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Especially in today's age when most of the kids are playing on their phones and they're not out in the field doing something.
Right, exactly. And we try and really, you know, limit our kids in terms of that type of activity. I mean, it's a different world now.
Right.
What I was used to, what you were used to in terms of technology. So that's a very important. And it's funny because here in Arizona, they're now the e-sports are now going to be an official sanctioned AIA sport, which is a whole new world
right.
for a lot of people. So, you know, but hey, that's the world we live in. So we gotta work with it, I guess.
Right, right.
So, but.
Are you okay? Now I hope to have you for another segment. We're probably going to go to break.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I want to talk to you. What I really want to talk to you now, after talking about this, is growing up in Tucson, or partly in Hawaii and in Tucson, but with your dad and how cool it was going to games and things like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're heading to a middle school softball game, so we got a little time.
Okay. Great. Good luck. Hey, good luck with that.
This is
the easy part of your day.
That's right, exactly.
Let's go to break, Bob, and we'll come back with Rich Tomey on the other side. You're listening to KVOI, Trusted Local News and Talk.
When we started Sun Street Mortgage in 2005, our goal was to create a local mortgage company that would treat our clients like family and friends. Now it's many years later, and we've had great success. Today we have offices throughout Arizona and the Southwest. Even though we've grown, we have clients that are family and friends forever. Call us today at Sun Street Mortgage at 547-2400 if we can be of any help to you. Sun Street Mortgage, take the street that leads you home.
AZBK number 0907366, NMLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
This Christmas season, get in the holiday spirit with Messiah. Handel's pulse-pounding, earth-shaking proclamation of the birth of Jesus, performed by the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Bruce Chamberlain, and featuring the full TSO chorus. One of the great choral masterpieces of all time, Handel's Messiah will be performed live in the intimate and acoustically designed concert hall at Catalina Foothills High School. Performances are Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. with a matinee Sunday, December 16th at 2. Handel's Messiah is extremely popular and last year's performances sold out. Tickets are now available at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org with a 50% discount available for children under 18. Handel's Messiah, Saturday and Sunday, December 15th and 16th at Catalina Foothills High School. Tickets at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org.
Hey, it's Mark Urban hanging out here with my pal, Ollie Farhang. Ollie, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona, on December 29th at Arizona Stadium. New Year's Eve comes early every year in Tucson with the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. You gotta be there.
So I know if people want more information and they're tired of listening to us babble, where would they get that?
You run to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
What does it mean to own a Lexus? It means you'll never be without one. If yours is in for service, we give you a complimentary loaner Lexus. Not a ride in a shuttle van or a seat on the couch. Another Lexus, till yours is ready. It means the highest level of luxury, technology, performance, and dependability. But don't take our word for it. Ask a Lexus owner. You know, the one with a perpetual smile on their face. Lexus of Tucson. At Speedway in Columbus, in the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
My name is Sean Hoffline, your favorite peace-loving hippie with a pit bull, a ferret, and a love of life, liberty, and faith like few you've ever heard before. It's Blue Collar Radio from the heart. I will be live with you at 1 p.m. right here in the Perfection Auto Works studios at 1030 KVOI every single Sunday after America Armed and Free. We still believe here the fight for freedom is God's fight, and to fight for freedom is to fight alongside God. Pax Domini Tecum, thank you in advance for your valuable time.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm on the phone with Rich Tomey of Positive Coaching Alliance, and obviously a name here who grew up in, kind of grew in, how old were you in Tucson when your dad moved here?
We moved there in 87, so I was 17, and I was a junior at South Point when I moved there. So.
Okay, well, let me relay a story to you, because I tell him all the time, and one of the things is, and I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, if not more. Your dad's one of the best guys all time, and he reminded me of my dad, actually, and I've said that to him. But the story that I remember with you and him is how when you were a little boy, he didn't know how to cook, and he was always busy coaching, so he made you tater tots and I think ham and cheese sandwiches lot, because that was what he could make, and that's the time he had.
In the toaster oven. So it was like we, grew up in Hawaii. My parents were divorced at a young age, so he kind of raised me, and tater tots and ham, here we go, you know. But it was great growing up in that world. I was very fortunate, and just a lot of amazing memories over the years, and just really cool stuff. So
was it scary? How scary was it from moving to Hawaii to here with your dad, a new program, a new life kind of thing?
Yeah, I'll never forget when he came home and said, "We're moving to Tucson, Arizona." And I was like, "What?" I looked at pictures, and here I go from a teenager in Hawaii to, going to Tucson in the desert, and it was hard. Obviously I had to start over from scratch with friends, and but I look back, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because of where I am in my life and my kids and my family and just everything that came of that move. And it's just been a tremendous blessing for me, and just couldn't be happier.
And you obviously you had a lot of friends when you got here, in terms of the football team was probably all like brothers to you.
Yeah, they were. It's funny, I tell people all the time, I literally have hundreds of brothers, because it's I have to share my dad with all these men that played for him, and it's almost it's overwhelming, really, the outreach of, you know, every day I get a message on Facebook or something, or you know, something's going on from people just out, you know, guys from Hawaii that played, or guys, you know, from U of A. It's just amazing the number of people that were affected by what happened, you know, over those years.
Sure.
It's very cool.
You use the word, and I wanted to use that before you use the word, and you sharing. Like I said, I had a dad like your dad who very friendly, would do anything to make things right. How was it sharing him? Because his time was very limited.
Yeah, it was. You know what, though? He was, I couldn't have had a better role model in terms of how he not only shared, you know, his life, but his time. I mean, when I was playing baseball at U of A, or even at South Point, wherever I was always number one. And he would create, you know, spring practice schedule around my games, and he traveled to every single one of my college baseball games. And he did not ever, I never ever felt like I was second fiddle to anything. So his values were exactly what mine are with my kids. And I think that's a good lesson for a lot of people, because I think so many people just can't do that, and we were fortunate that he was able to, you know, be in a position to do that. And so I really look back and reflect on how amazing that was in my life, and it really made an impact.
Any of the guys that he had while you were growing up or even beyond have an impact on you?
Oh, man. There's so many. I mean, it's probably too hard to really pinpoint one person. I mean, my dad is always, he always loved the guy who was the walk-on, you know, or
yeah.
the guy that had to earn, a guy like Rich Miano, who he always talks about in Hawaii, who went from a walk-on to playing pro football for the New York Jets, or even, you know, you can look at guys, you know, that like David Phipp is a great example of someone who I'm very close with, and, you know, walk on, earned his way on the team and just became this leader, and now he's coaching in the NFL. So I think there's so many examples of guys that earned everything through hard work and the values that he instilled. And that's why those teams were so special, because he never had the AAA diamond recruits. He just had guys that had heart. And I mean, the Teddy Bruschis and the Waldrops and the guys that, you know, weren't recruited, and he did a lot with a little, and they became something special.
Yeah, he actually really did coach them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was one of his many talents, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, it's ironic that, I mean, being with PCA, there's a guy up here in Phoenix, Herman Edwards, who I know people in Tucson don't want to hear this, but he's a tremendous guy, and he's on our National Board of Advisors as well, and we had a chance to, we had an event last summer actually with Herm and my dad as sort of the keynote speakers on the same stage at once, and it was just fun to hear them kind of go back and forth, and I think a lot of people would say the same thing about how he is as well, and you can definitely see that, and I know Kevin Sumlin's, you know, doing a good job trying to get things going down there, so it's definitely very important to have your guys buy into what you're selling.
Right, right. And the fact that you did not play football, but you played baseball, I know that Dick played baseball when he was growing up and played collegiately, I think it was. Was there less pressure for you because you didn't play football, and so you could, you know, do things differently on the baseball field?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to play football. I remember my football career basically lasted until Pop Warner, and I remember, I mean, I'm playing in Hawaii against guys that are three times my size, and just, I remember waking up on the ground once. I didn't even know how I got there. So it's just like, I was somewhat of a late bloomer. I mean, I tell this to a lot of parents nowadays. It's like, I never really became or someone that I thought would even have a chance to play in college until really my junior year of high school. You know, it's like I grew late. I was skinny and had no weight on me, and just, you know, so I think a lot of people look at their kids and they're like, oh, he's going to be this all-star. And it's like, no, you got to let them grow and develop. And until you, and that just is so true for so many people. And I would urge parents just to really give it time, you know, because you just never know what's going to change. The kid that's out there right now playing, you know, 10U baseball, throwing hard, he may not be that guy down the road. And that's how I was. I was late. So it's, I think that's kind of reflective in a lot of things.
Sure, sure. Your dad, when I covered him, it was when you first got here, 87, 88, 89. You went back to Hawaii in 89. I think the family went back. How was that?
In 89.
Played in Honolulu.
Oh, for the game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it was, it's fun to go back there. And, it's ironic, you know, there's so many, I think that was, you're talking about the game,
they got shut out
when they played. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The other side, it was almost like there was two more UH guys on my dad's sideline than the other side, because it was Fred Von Appen, I think, was the coach there. And he was a Howley guy from Colorado or wherever he was from, and just, you know, so all the guys that played for my dad were kind of rooting for my dad almost. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, yeah. So, sure. And he's also known for, he doesn't get too excited. I know he probably gets excited when you see him, but, you know, big wins, the Nebraska win, he doesn't, or does he? Maybe that's a side that we don't see.
He, I think he doesn't get overexcited. He gets, I mean, I've seen him animated after games, obviously. I think when he was a young coach in Hawaii, I remember he threw a garbage can at a reporter once. That was about as that was about as deep as I saw him get ever in my life. But that was like in his early years as a head coach, and he was fiery. And but you know, he's definitely even keel. I think that's obviously, people that know me know I'm pretty pretty even keel. Don't get too excited, too down. And I think that's good. I think he really can. That's what you don't want to ever get too fired up,
sure,
or too down. You gotta keep a baseline, and I think his players, he never panicked, and they overcame a lot with that.
Yeah, so. I know he was perfect guy to cover because he told you exactly how he felt and didn't over embellish or whatever. He just told you what he thought. And,
yeah,
and exactly. Philosophical. I'm sure he told you some things and how you probably maybe remember some of his great lines.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean it was a tremendous upbringing, and all the things he told me about, you know, he would always bring home, like, you know, sayings like burn the boats and, you know, all these things.
Right.
All the guys would walk around campus with t-shirts on and all these, you know, about motivational, all these pieces of paper. He'd bring stuff home. He's like, here, read this. This is amazing. And I'm like a teenager. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to read this. And then now I'm like, Dad, where is all that stuff? I need it for my kids because they're not listening to me. So it's just like, you know, it's funny how your life flips a little bit, but, you know, it was an amazing deal.
We talked about that, I think, last week, Bob and I, where as a kid, you know, your dad doesn't know much. And then as you get older, your dad becomes the smartest man you know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I definitely am using a lot of his stuff, and it's, I have three kids and they're great, but obviously they're all different, and I got to win a middle school softball game or else I think I'm on the hot seat. I'm 0-2, so I think I got to pull one out today.
Even at your level, there's hot seats. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe one last thing. Anything that, you know, we all know, Dick, he's retired, but not retired because he's probably as active as he's ever been. Anything that we don't know about him, because he's kind of like, he's out there. He's always out there.
Yeah. You know, they moved back to Tucson recently, and I think he's enjoying that. I really don't see him that much. I mean, they've been traveling a lot. They have Nancy and his wife. They have kids all over the country, and we're up here. And so I know they're always on the move. He's done a lot of consulting with different people over the years, and he's very, very active, like you said. So, and his health is great.
Yeah.
So I think he's enjoying retirement. I think he's not fully retired, I guess you could say, but I think he's definitely keeping busy. And he's got a long way to go still, I think.
Right. Well, Rich, thanks for joining me. It was a lot of fun. Good luck today. Hope you find one of those Gipper speeches in you.
We'll see. I just want him to, you know, enjoy the time they're out there, and it's fun. It's a good group. And you guys gonna win today?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. See.
your work is done. Your work is done. Now they just have to hit the ball. Hit the ball.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Rich. Well, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it very much. We'll get back with you maybe in a few months.
That'd be great. Thanks, good. Steve.
All right, Rich. Thanks a bunch. Hey, we'll be back after the break here on KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Where you bank really does matter.
Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Sugar and spice makes holiday shopping nice. The bells are jingling, the holidays are near, so come to Fellowship Square Tucson and shop here. Join us for our holiday market open house on December 7th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be over 20 vendors with distinctive items for sale. Enjoy the sounds of harpist Christine Vivona as you shop and enjoy hot chocolate, cookies, and even a raffle. So come by and check out our holiday market open house. Call Janine to RSVP at 886-5537 or at fellowshipsquareseniorliving.org.
Mom and Dad, do you wonder about the 7 hours I spend at school each day? Well, I want to tell you that I am learning a lot. My teachers know who I am. We pray for each other in classes every day. Thank you so much for allowing me to go to Bush Ridge Christian Academy.
Bush Ridge Christian Academy is hosting a tax credit workshop. The workshop will show you how you can afford a Christian education for your children. This tax credit workshop is Thursday, December 6th at 6 p.m. at Bush Ridge Christian Academy. Learn more at prca.academy.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more, to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI. That's some good old boy music.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good day. I liked today's show. Did you?
I did, yeah.
We still have time. I can mess it up in 10 minutes. Don't worry.
You're going to have to push it a little bit if you want to
mess it up.
No, he's really well spoken.
Yeah, no, and he's a good kid. He's about, 12, 15 years younger than me. But that story with him and his dad, because I had that type of dad who, you know, we'd go to the park all the time and we'd get a pizza. Let's go to McDonald's. Let's go. I'm probably unhealthy right now. It's all hell because that's just what I remember. But that's how we spent our time at the ballpark. And that was, quick food, tater tots and ham sandwiches and go.
Now, did you mention your dad played a sport or?
Yeah, he was very good in basketball. He was a guard. And I've written a story about him. He's passed a long time ago, but when I first moved here and I did a big story, I'll let you read it. Those dads that you're always at the park or you're getting taught some philosophy or whatever, I try to use that on my kids and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
I'll remember later.
But it's cool. I mean, he had a great dad and we all got to share him. Because he was the coach for a number of years, and he's still around, and he's still kind of giving everybody advice when they ask him to give advice.
I was hoping you were going to say baseball, then I was going to ask his batting average.
Al Bundy needed to get into the picture.
Hey, Peg, yeah.
Have you coached youth sports?
What did I do? I think I helped out my son's for his 1 year in Little League baseball.
Many years ago?
He was probably 12, and he's 24 now. So, yeah, it was back too long ago.
Yeah, but and I've said this, I coached a little, but this job has kept me busy, the sports writing job. That the worst thing that happened to kids, our parents, because mm-hmm. they get too involved.
Absolutely.
And they yell and they scream on the sidelines, and who do they have to, do the kids listen to and all that?
You're probably aware of the, I forgot the name of the website, but there's some people that encourage you to videotape parents out of line at sporting events, children's sporting events.
Uh-huh.
They post them on YouTube trying to shame these parents into you know, behaving better.
Yeah, the thing is, they probably do they see their own videos? That's the whole thing. If you don't see the videos, how do you know you're being stupid out there?
I think some stupid people wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the funny thing about it is when it got unruly, and that's probably not the right word, or got crazy, I would suggest that the coaches would say, okay, parents, you're out, and or the only way you're going to be able to see your kids play is we tape every game. We'll send you a tape.
Mm.
And we'll send you a tape of the game. You get to see your kids, and that's how you'll get to enjoy their career until you shape up.
Yeah.
And until you do, that's how it's going to be. If we'll allow you back, if you mess up again, guess what? We'll do it again.
It's just cool.
And it's hard probably to enforce. Because can't keep the parent away from the kid. But that's how I would try to handle it. If you're going to be a jerk on the sidelines, well, this is our team. This is my team and your kid's team. Don't ruin it for us.
Yeah. And they get like you had mentioned, trying to live their life vicariously through their children, that it's way too important to them.
Right, right. And you see those things that you said, those fights on the sideline, that crazy banter or whatever it is.
I don't know. I feel bad for the kids. You know, maybe once during the season, then you make it a teachable moment for your own children to say, that's how mommy and daddy don't behave.
Right.
But after that, then, you know, well, how do you explain it to your kids? Well, when they're asking, why do those people keep coming?
Right, right. Well, the thing about it is, I think that kids aren't given enough credit. And let me say this. Maybe to a certain age, 8, 9, 10, maybe, and they're smart. We give them less credit than what they deserve. They're very bright. They're very bright. They watch everything. They know what you say, how you say it, and in the context you say it. How do I know this now as a parent? I had a substitute teacher. I didn't have to, but I did. Not long ago, I won't say when. And I went into the junior high level, and boy, did I learn a lot of things that 12, 13-year-old boys and girls say and do. It's kind of crazy.
It's scary.
More, I would have never, ever thought. It's very different than when I went to school many years ago when they had, little chairs and books. Unbelievable.
I used to DJ a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs 10, 20 years ago, and I've run into those kids, you know, when they were in their 20s and, you know, whatever, and they start to tell me about, you know, oh, well, you know Alyssa and I, and I'm like, I don't even want to know. You're ruining the picture of, you know, they're telling me about, you know, maybe hiding in the closet just different things.
Yeah.
Or even somebody drinking, and I don't mean a hit off of a bottle of Manischewitz. I mean, there were some kids really tying it on or doing stuff, and I'm just like, I would have never thought that.
Yeah, you never thought that, but they do. I mean, it's just how we live today, unfortunately. I'm talking sports specific now.
Right, right.
Just people have grown up, they know what they know a lot of things that we didn't know when we were that age.
And it's horrible, like you say, about those parents, because these kids are growing up and there's their parents. So they grow up thinking, well, that's normal behavior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That right there. Maybe before we had kids years back, I asked somebody else's kid, you know, who are the kids at school, you know, selling drugs? Where are they getting drugs? My mom and their mom and dad was the answer.
Wow.
I would have never thought that a parent would send their child. You know, my mother made puka shell necklaces. So, you know, I got like three in the course of my grade school. See if any of your friends want these. And I came back, Mom, three bucks for them. They're beautiful, but I'm not a sales guy, Mom. I don't want to ask.
Sure, no problem.
But, you know, could have been very different if she said, you get out there and sell these things, and this family needs the money. And
Wow.
You know, they were never that way. They were like, good job, way to go, whether I betted $5.95 or $1.95.
Yeah. Wow, that's news to me. I mean, you're telling me stuff I hadn't heard before.
It's horrible.
It's a different time these days. But let's get back to sports and not life.
Yes.
Because sports, I mean, everybody thinks that it's the comic book or the fun times of away from reality. For some people it is. Some people it's not. It's a big business. In fact, Rich's organization is business because it's good that he's trying to teach parents how to act, how to react to good and bad in sports.
He mentioned the AIA, which I think, Tom, you can correct me. The AIA, we still have do we still play the sports show on Saturday? We do still play. We've got official AIA kind of a sports show. I don't know if they sanction it or what their relationship
it scores,
is.
It scores in stories, isn't it? I think so. I think it's a tape. It's a tape from Phoenix that they talk about sports and give you headlines and things like that.
Arizona Sports Prep is actually the name of. They do a great job. I forget the name of the producer up there.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have Rich on. I hadn't seen him in a while. I knew that I wanted to talk to him about his new program. That's what he's only been there like a year and a half. It's always good to hear different type of things and wanted to talk to him about his dad, Dick Tomey, who's obviously a very iconic figure in this town.
And he never once complained that dad ripped him out of Hawaii to come to the desert, which I thought was impressive.
Right. Well, you know, Tucson's kind of has its majestic feel to it.
Hey, I love it. I'm a native. I'm just thinking when he says, well, we moved from Hawaii, and, you know, you always kind of fantasize.
Bummer.
I wish I could move to Hawaii.
Yeah, right. Well, good luck affording that thing.
yeah.
And then we had Mike Bibby. I really enjoyed that. I'll probably play. Well, I play all my shows on my podcast at allsportstucson.com, and then I put them on Facebook. So if people want to listen to them, or they can go to the website, kvoy.com, press go to podcast, go to my name and play the interview again.
Awesome.
I think a lot of your
listeners would want to know that.
Yeah, they do. They listen to it on my Facebook page. And you know, the one thing I don't do often enough is give the phone number out. I know that. I'm still learning this gig. 790-2040. We can't do it now, but maybe tomorrow and beyond we can talk more about things. People can call in and reminisce with me about the good old days. Maybe, you know, like yesterday, the day before.
And those young players that we all remember that are in their 40s.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man.
That was funny. He doesn't try to be funny, but he's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's real dry.
Yeah, very dry. Hey, good show today. Thank you very much, Bob. And we'll see everyone tomorrow and listen tomorrow. Thank you. This is Steve Rivera.